You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey y'all, this is a special bonus episode we're releasing at the request of our Patreon subscribers. We normally do true crime headlines as part of our weekly bonus content, but when we covered the new Texas abortion ban, SB8, our Patreons asked if we could make it public so they could share it.
We hope this provides a quick overview for you on what the law means, its constitutionality, and where the law is headed going forward as it impacts all people seeking access to reproductive care. We recorded this a few weeks ago when the law first went into effect. Since then, there have been some news updates, movement and litigation challenging SB8, and clarifications in the analysis of the law, including who it does and does not apply to. So, as we say in the segment, be sure you keep up with the updates on the law as it impacts you and those you love.
Thanks so much for listening, and keep it creepy.
We're doing a little bit of a different... I guess it's technically a true crime headline.
The truest of crimes, and it's definitely a headline because it's, I mean, nationally, perhaps globally, a headline at this point.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about, because I've gotten DMs, we've gotten comments on
emails,
every
Patreon
emails,
questions, yeah.
Everything to add. Talk about the most recent, it's called the Texas Heartbeat Act, but it's known as SB8 in most places, about the new abortion ban. I mean, let's call it what it is in Texas. So if that's not something you want to listen to, all by all means, we understand. Peace out. But so this is our don't worry, I'm not faulting you for it.
To each their own. But for those that are interested in what this ban is about, what you can do to help all of the women and just people in Texas and everywhere that are trying to put a stop to this, we'll do a call to action for several things and kind of just explain how we got here, which the answer is, who the fuck knows, and then what exactly this is. So Heather's going to break down a lot of the legal stuff, which is always helpful.
For sure. So from a kind of a just general Texas politics perspective, in 2018, the citizenry of Texas voted and more progressively than they really had before. That's when you saw Beto kind of, you know, he was within slapping distance of Ted Cruz. Didn't get to slap him.
Wow. But if only we were all within slapping distance of Ted Cruz. What a joy.
But then, so you got to see, you know, more Democrats take legislative positions in state, in the state level, as well as at the federal level. But that meant, you know, it was a little bit of a milder session. There wasn't too many extremist things happening. Well, then in 2020, for some reason, it was regressive. I don't know if people just thought, you know, you sit on your laurels, you go like, oh, everything's fine, like, and didn't come out to vote in like they should have. And so we see a more aggressive majority, conservative majority in Texas. And you get things like we had, I could do a whole episode on the egregious Voting Restrictions Act that just went into place as well. And then you see this Texas Heartbeat Act. I'm not going to sound cynical for a minute, but I think Greg Abbott was super gung-ho on this, and the other legislators were super gung-ho on it, because it's almost like a race to as far right as possible here, because, you know, Greg Abbott is coming up for re-election, and meaningfully, he's being challenged by two other Republican challengers. There will also be Democratic challengers, but at this point, it's like who can grab the most votes from the most people. And so I think that this law was an extreme way. It's basically a way, a flag for him to wave and try to get reelected. And the same for the legislators who put it into effect.
He has done a lot of shit over the past 2 years that the people of Texas have not looked favorably upon, including his constituents, with the whole ice storm, and just he's been under the magnifying glass for a while. So I totally agree that this is all just a play for votes, and everything in politics is a scam. And that's how I'm going to sum that up.
You're not wrong. And you're totally right, too. I think that this is a way for him to, oh, look over here. Yeah. Don't look at how I left you without water mm-hmm. and heat and electricity for so long. And it literally was on his shoulders because of a lot of the things he did. I mean, we can get into a whole nother thing about the ice storm. But I think that that's what the purpose of this mm-hmm. was. The effect of it, the impact on it, is that it is effectively banning abortion in Texas. When you first posted about it on Facebook, people started talking about it. I have to admit, law school warps your brain. I'm very much like, I have to read about this myself. I'm not going to get heated about it. And then later that day, I started texting you and I just went, oh my God. And you said, what's wrong? And I said, I finally read the law. Holy shit.
I think I sent you a link and I was like, it's truly the end of times. And you were like, oh, I hadn't really read it yet. And then you read it and you're like, this is really bad.
Yeah, I said, oh my God, this is unprecedented, which is, I like to pat myself on the back when I then go look up what legal scholars are saying about something, and they say, oh my God, holy shit, this is unprecedented. So, glad I am not an alarmist. But I really try to be pretty even-keeled when I read, you know, and think about the implications of laws and what's going on here. So, we'll just break it down. So, it went into effect Wednesday, September 1st. It's been called by legal scholars the most intense restriction on abortion since the 1973 decision Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion across the country. And the really, I think, the scary thing and the scary headlines were, oh, then the Supreme Court ruled on it right away and they said it was fine. Not really. So 24 hours-ish after it took effect, the Supreme Court did rule on it. It was a 5-4 ruling with Chief Justice Roberts siding with the more liberal justices. And they allowed the law to go into effect simply on a technical matter. It says in the thing, we're not deciding constitutionality today. This is merely a technicality. We can get into the shadow docket and how problematic it is and how this was a political hack job. But the kind of, I guess, hope that we have is that I'll go ahead and say this is a facially unconstitutional law. It's unconstitutional under the Texas Constitution, and it's unconstitutional under the federal Constitution. I just don't know how long it's going to take to get back to the Supreme Court or to even get to the Texas Supreme Court. And that what that means is in the interim, while we're waiting for it to be ruled on, effectively, abortions are banned in Texas.
After 6 weeks, which is...
After 6 weeks.
Most women don't even know they're pregnant before six
Correct.
Weeks.
And also, you know, they hinged it on this whole fetal heartbeat, but medical and legal experts say that's really misleading because embryos don't have a heart at that developmental stage.
Right.
So it's a sound, it's like an echo sound, but it's being mistaken for a heartbeat when in fact there's no heart at that time. I think they know the impact, right? The people that drafted this are smart lawyers, and we'll get into the tricky part of it and why it's so different than any other law. So what happens when a law is facially unconstitutional like this one, and like most excessively restrictive abortion laws that go into effect, the state says, if you get an abortion, these are the consequences. We are going to whatever. It's a fine. It's a whatever. It bans it after a certain a certain number of weeks or whatever. Well, because the state is going to be the one to, you know, put it into effect to enforce it, then people can sue and say, hey, Supreme Court, I need you to look at this. There's an imminent act, an imminent harm from a state actor. And so that's when the Supreme Court can step in, and that could, you know, they call it pre-enforcement injunctive relief, right? The law hasn't even got into effect, but if it did, I would be in trouble. Well, this law isn't enforced by the state. It's enforced by anybody. I put that in air quotes. Anybody.
It's like a citizen's arrest for your uterus.
It's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. So it's, I mean, to say it's unprecedented is like, you and I were having this conversation of, you know, you said, who, what do you mean these folks can just sue for no reason? I'm like, yeah, like if, you know, you and I live next door to each other and an arsonist comes and burns your house down, you can, you know, sue them for damage or whatever. Somebody steals stuff from you, you can sue them for conversion. I can't sue him for conversion because my house didn't get burned down. My stuff didn't get stolen. I'm not the one who stole them. I don't have a dog in the fight. So I can't sue them. That's what's called standing, right? The Texas Constitution allows for people to, you know, come to court with their issues. And the people that can come are those who have had injury done to them. So, I mean, you have to have a concrete injury done to the plaintiff, and you have to personally be the one that's injured. You don't sue on third parties' behalfs, and you have to demonstrate, like, what you have to prove when you go into court is that you have suffered an injury. But what the law, what SB 8 does is it expands that jurisdiction by statute. And, you know, we do have what's called a quitom action, which is like whistleblower, right? Like if there's government fraud, you haven't been defrauded, but you have knowledge of it, then you can sue on the government's behalf. And that's a whistleblower action. That's one thing. But in this case, the Texas Constitution specifically, I mean, in recent case law, I want to say it's like 2015 or 2016, said that you cannot expand the court's constitutional jurisdiction by statute. There's like separation of powers issues. So that's exactly what this law
did.
So
how does something like this get passed then?
Bunch of fuckheads.
I mean, but like, I mean, I'm serious. Like if it's illegal, if that, like, yeah. How did this happen?
That's a great question.
If I'm yelling, I'm sorry. I told
a little bit. It's okay.
I told you of yeah. all the things that, of all the issues that I am passionate about, this is by far the one I am the most passionate about. I do yeah. not think anyone has the right to make a law about what a woman can do with her body, especially a bunch of fucking men. And one of my biggest issues with this is there's zero accountability or anything that happens to a man. You don't get pregnant on your own. Uh-uh. And so there's nothing written in this ban that has anything to do with a man getting fined, a man possibly.
Well, you can sue him. You can sue him. So that's we'll debunk a couple things. There's no criminal penalties and there's no fines. What it does is allows you to get sued. So you could sue a man if he's your Uber driver, if he's a doctor, if he's the clinic front desk
worker. Under what? That you know that he got a woman pregnant and she got an abortion?
That's a great question, because the law is so broadly written that it says any person can sue anyone who aids and abets an abortion, including if you have the intent to aid and abet an abortion. My thing is, an abortion is impossible without someone being pregnant. So arguably, a man who got a woman pregnant who then she got an abortion, I believe you could sue him based upon how this law is written. The law is written that you can sue any person that touches the abortion process. That's the big issue right now. That can include domestic violence and rape counselors who say you've been attacked. Here are some of your options. If you say your option is to terminate the pregnancy, you can get sued as the counselor. If you're the Lyft driver that takes her, you can get sued. So it's anybody that touches the process or intends to help, which that intent to. The question then becomes, if you donate to the T Fund, which is the Texas Equal Access Fund, and that fund then goes to pay women to travel to places where it's easier to get access to reproductive care. If I donate to that, have I right. then I donated with the intent that someone would get an abortion. Can then they go into the T Fund and say, we want to see a list of all your donors and we're going to sue every one of them?
Could they?
the very vague way that this law is written, they could. It's extremely broad.
And you think that that was done intentionally because they know that this isn't really going to stand up, but they're just they're doing this to get votes.
Correct. The whole, and by the time it does get seen, which probably 2-3 years.
But seen by the Supreme Court?
Yes. And ultimately struck down. It's going to be a moot point because by then they will have either gotten reelected or moved on to another office or whatever. This is in my opinion, incredibly short-sighted, and it was drafted to what happened at the Supreme Court this last 2 weeks ago was exactly what they designed it. So the purpose was they knew that the Supreme Court will only step in where there's imminent harm by a state actor for a pre-enforcement injunction, and because here there is no state actor. It's just citizens. It's deputy rando down the street can just sue you if they think that you're going to help your little sister or your cousin or your mom or whoever.
That's
if they think
the fucking wild, wild west.
Yes.
I mean, we are living in the Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I don't know that it's I don't think it's alarmist to draw some likeness to Nazi Germany when they really did say, hey, teens, report your parents, report your teachers, report. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's, I think a lot of times people are like, well, the Nazis did it. And it can be a little bit like, let's not invoke that. But in this case, at least the actions of, well, we can't be everywhere. So let's just tell people to report on each other, report on your neighbor. Yeah. So you're supposed to report. There's no exception in cases of rape or incest. There is an exception for medical emergencies. Do we really want judges to be like, well, I disagree. And, we actually think that that wasn't an exception. And so, now you have to pay $10,000 in damages. It's a bounty.
Yeah. And also, because of that, people are going to, I mean, some people on Reddit were saying like, so could I get my girlfriend pregnant and then take her to get an abortion and then turn her in? Like literally a bounty.
People are monsters, first of all. And I think arguably you could, but then I say she's counter-sues him because he's the one that got her pregnant. And he gave her a ride. You gave her a ride. You told her she should get an abortion.
But
that's
the way,
all aiding
the
and
fact
abetting,
that
my
even
dude.
People are thinking that way is
the
dangerous
capacity for disgustingness is unfathomable. No, you're right. And then the really horrifying thing is normally you can try to sue for attorney's fees if you can prove something's frivolous. The statute specifically says the defendant cannot ask the plaintiff for attorney's fees. There's nothing to lose. There's no incentive not to do it.
And how is that? How did that how did that get passed?
That I'm telling they put all this in here, and when you have people that don't vote in their local elections, and so your senators and House representatives at the state level, and or you can't vote or your vote doesn't count as well because Texas has a lot of these voting restrictions in place, then you have, I mean, there's no check on them. The check is normally the courts, and what they have done here is extreme bit of tricky lawyering that what normally would stop this, which is you can sue and say, hey, state, you can't enforce this, which is what happened in Mississippi. And the Mississippi case is going to be seen. It'll be seen, I think, in the fall or the spring. And it'll be on the Supreme Court's opinions for next summer. And it's Dobbs versus Jackson Women Health. And the state of Mississippi banned abortions after 15 weeks. Well, that's the state of Mississippi is the one that is banning it. So there's a pre-enforcement injunction. So
it's not
in effect now.
It's the state. Yeah.
But it's not it's the state. So you can pause it if it's the state. Well, on purpose, Texas made it the people because they knew
bunch
the federal
of shady assholes.
I mean, they knew what they were doing. It's tricky, tricky, tricky,
but
because they know.
I guess my question, though, is, and maybe the answer is they don't have one. Like, what is even the explanation or justification they're trying to weasel in of, like, how this could even be justified? That you would not get your court fees paid for, but you have to pay. Like, how is that even, how are they justifying that?
Well, when he signed the bill, Greg Abbott said 56,000 women had an abortion in Texas in 2019. And so I'm saving around 50,000 lives, and or it was a right to life organization or something. They don't care about the rule of law because they think they're on a moral mission. He said, our creator has endowed us with the right to life, and I think I'm protecting. So it's he's ruling. I mean, he's his language indicates to me that he is not ruling appropriately, because as a governor, you should, in good faith, not sign into a law that's unconstitutional, not only under the state constitution, but it's under the federal constitution as well. But governors do that shit all the time. And I would say if you're so pulled, swayed, clouded judgment by your religious beliefs that you can't execute the functions of your office, then you're not fit for office.
And wouldn't that be a violation of separation of church and state?
Well, I mean, he's not saying I'm making a religious law here.
Kind of.
It does. I mean, that's the whole thing.
If he's saying our creator, I mean, that's all very religious language, and that I'm saving lives and stuff. He's basing it all on his religious beliefs.
The trick is it's not written that way. He said that out loud when he signed it with a smile, and they drafted it like they drafted it, arguably for that reason. And the whole thing is that's why we have the Constitution, which I always sound like you always say you're Walter from The Big Lebowski, of like, we have rules. I'm the same way, but with the Constitution, I'm like, we have the fucking Constitution. No one wants to listen. And also, I'm not an originalist on the Constitution. And I think that's the issue we're going to see with the Dobbs case and with the now conservative majority of the Supreme Court we have, is that Roe versus Wade, the constitutional right to an abortion, it derives from the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. And they said the right to privacy in that clause protects a pregnant woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion. But it said, because this is how our government works, right? We have the Constitution that lays out, it's a baseline, and it was written a million years ago by white old men. And so what we've had is we've had the Supreme Court, Marbury versus Madison, like the court is the one that is assigned to interpret the Constitution and what it means. So to me, Amy Coney Barrett, Justice Scalia, who I met and was so funny and so nice, their judicial concept of the Constitution is fucking absurd. Originalism is nonsense. It's originalism says if it's not written in the Constitution, then therefore it's not a constitutional right. So their argument that the Amy Coney Barrett, in essays that she's written, she hasn't been on the bench very long, but like Scalia, others that are subscribed to this originalist perspective, say the Constitution does not say you have a right to an abortion. The Constitution says you have a right to privacy, so therefore you don't have a right to an abortion. You see how this is absurd, though, because things like, I don't know, paper money, the federal government paying for highways, none of that shit's fucking in there because there was no paper money. They used doubloons or whatever. Like,
Well, so I mean, the entire world has changed Supreme Court. Since then, so why wouldn't your laws and rules adapt?
Yes.
It's not like we've all fucking wear powdered wigs and quills to write with still. So it makes zero 100%. Sense. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And so, like, if you say, okay, the Fourth Amendment says you have a right against unreasonable search and seizure by the government, well, like, they can search your cell phone because it doesn't say they can't search your cell phone. Like,
well,
are you fucking kidding me?
Well, cell phones didn't exist back then. George Washington didn't text. Sorry, I am lit up.
I'm lit up, too, because I think originalism is extremely dangerous, because you could see if you said, okay, well, we're going to go with what the words say. Well, the words would say that my fiance is property.
Right. Like, and the words would say
ironically,
we shouldn't even get to vote. So why are you sitting on the bench, woman?
Yeah. So I'm like, go fuck yourself with originalism. But the problem, and that's the danger when we have this conservative majority. And I would say Gorsuch is slightly a textualist. Gorsuch, I appreciate. He's like a. Here's the thing, too, about originalism. Amy Coney Barrett has said in her essays that she's written on the subject, because, you know, law professors and lawyer, legal scholars, they write a bunch, which is great, because then later you'd be like, gotcha.
Right.
You wrote it down. But she has said, oh, I get it. Like, there are some issues with originalism, like paper money, like federal funding of highways. But anyway, I still subscribe to it, especially with abortion. So to me, that's not a rational ethos. That's just like someone manipulating the law where it basically benefits you.
Totally.
The one reason why I can respect Neil Gorsuch is that he's just like, the words of the law say this. That's why I'm going with it. So people were super pissed whenever he voted for protections for LGBTQ, like trans people, ultimately, because he was like, well, the law says discrimination on the basis of sex. And like, if you are biologically one gender but you present as a different gender, that's discrimination, because you can't tell someone of one sex how to dress. That's discrimination. Like, that's the words of the law. If you didn't want it to be interpreted interpret it that way, shouldn't have wrote it that way. So I can respect that ethos where you actually follow through. But to me, the originalism is like fully bullshit because she concedes like, well, but like sometimes, you know, you can see how it wouldn't work anyway. That would be really silly. But that's how I believe in abortion. Yeah. So the issue that we have is that the constitutional right to an abortion has been established through precedent, starting in 1973 with Roe versus Wade. And that even that said, you have a right to the right to privacy includes a right for a woman to choose whether or not to have an abortion. However, the court said it's not absolute and it has to be balanced between government's interest in protecting a woman's health and government's interest in protecting prenatal health and prenatal life, ultimately. And then in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, which was years later, they reaffirmed that constitutional right to an abortion. They struck down, though, Roe versus Wade was like, you can't, it was trimester based. So Planned Parenthood v. Casey struck that down and they created the undue burden standard. And that said, you have a constitutional right to an abortion. However, states can make restrictions on them, but the restrictions states make are unconstitutional if they're enacted for the purpose of placing a substantial obstacle in the path of a woman seeking an abortion of a non-viable fetus. So 6 weeks, that is a non-viable fetus. Mississippi, 15 weeks, that's a non-viable fetus. So under the framework of Planned Parenthood v. Casey, these are, I mean, facially unconstitutional laws. They're going to the Supreme Court for the purpose of they're offering it up on a dish for the conservative majority, including Amy Coney Barrett, to say, do you want to undo since 1973 decades of precedent and say that the constitutional right to privacy under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment no longer includes abortion.
We're turning That's back the clock and it's correct. Just, I mean, abysmal. It makes, yeah, it makes so every part of me hurt.
Yeah, it's pretty horrifying, especially when you understand that if you, you know, and I get it because I have people in my life that are extremely religious or extremely conservative that say, you know, well, I really want to protect a baby no matter what. And there's a lot of times I'm not going to change someone's religious beliefs, right? I get that. However, I will say we're not a theocracy. We don't live in a Christian society. We don't live in a Muslim society. We don't live in a satanic temple society, possibly, although apparently the leader said like anti-Semitic stuff like Jesus Christ. But we don't live in a, you know, a Semitic society. We don't live in a Mormon society. We live in a democracy, right? So not one religion shouldn't prevail. And so that's why we have this constitutional right, because we have the Constitution that tells us the baseline is you have a right to have an abortion where the fetus is non-viable. And I think the danger is when religion gets mixed in, emotions gets mixed in, when I'm not a doctor, and even if I were, I'm not a doctor to all 50,000 women or however many thousand women need to get abortions in Texas. So the baseline is that they have they should, under the U.S. Constitution, their right is that they have access to that. Texas can make people read pamphlets or watch videos or whatever the bullshit that they put everybody through. Unfortunately, because that's, you know, under the constitutional framework, they're allowed to do that. But those choices of like, it should be outlawed. It shouldn't, because those choices need to be made from a woman who's going to see her doctor, what her doctor tells her, her provider tells her, and then her own religion, whoever she prays to. Like, that's such an important choice that I'm not here to put my fingers in that pie, because like that's way too many people. There's way too many possibilities. And we live under this constitutional framework. And I think what we've seen with the Supreme Court over the last 4 years has been a politicizing of the Supreme Court like never before. And people, in fact, got pissed off at Neil Gorsuch for not being non-political, just like they got pissed off at Kennedy for being not. Basically, they're like, you're our puppets. We put you in there. Dance for us. Do what we want you to do. And when they follow the law, people get pissed off. And they're like, Chief Justice Roberts sucks because he didn't strike down Obamacare. He followed the law. Mm-hmm. I respect John Roberts. I will always respect John Roberts. Dude follows the law. Like, sometimes I don't like how he comes out on stuff, and I wish laws were drafted differently. But so far, Neil Gorsuch follows the law. So far, the other justices, except for on this one, I think Neil Gorsuch really like embarrassed himself by signing this majority on upholding the law and the technicality. Although, technically speaking, it was drafted for what to happen to happen. They wanted this to happen. They wanted the Supreme Court to go, it's a technicality. We're not saying it's constitutional. Anyway, see you guys in a couple years whenever this goes.
How can they not fast track it?
Okay, so there's a case pending before the Fifth Circuit, which is a notoriously conservative circuit. I mean, it covers Texas. And the Center for Reproductive Rights represents the one of the parties. And they said, okay, this is imminent harm. Can we please ask for expedited arguments, expedited hearings? And the Fifth Circuit goes, nah. So we're just going to have to wait.
So what this and boils down to is voting.
I think so. I think that's why when somebody's like, I'm really passionate about environmental justice or racial justice or reproductive rights, I'm like, that's cool. That should be your second thing that you're worried about. The first thing that you should always be worried about is voting, because we wouldn't be here if Greg Abbott wasn't our governor. Right. We wouldn't be here if our senators and our the House members and the senators at the state level voted like they did, if they were held accountable. I mean, I think we should actively, if this law upsets you, I think if you're a person who loves the Constitution, it should.
Or because just honestly, loves, women.
Well, and it's not just women. I mean, trans people, non-binary people, they need access to this healthcare too. And it's like it should make everybody pissed off that even if it's something that you know, if you're like, I don't think there should be any abortions, you're right to have that opinion. You're constitutionally wrong. Mm-hmm. And you should care that a law like this exists, because there's nothing to say that the state doesn't go, well, we can't infringe on the right to protest because that's unconstitutional, right? The state can't say you can't protest because the First Amendment, you have, you know, right to free speech. But we're going to say if a citizen is late to work or just doesn't like it, that they can sue every protester and get $10,000.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. Exactly right. Or the same with, even if you're on the other side and you're really worried about your guns, right? Yeah. If you say, okay, well, California said, if I have actual knowledge that my neighbor has a gun, I can sue them and get $10,000.
It becomes, like you said, it's just a bounty.
It's a goddamn, it's a free-for-all.
I mean, it's the wild, wild west. People are just turning in others for rewards.
Yes, ultimately. And you know, like I said, to me, it's one thing if you just say, I don't care about our constitutional framework. I just don't care. That's fine. But we cannot live in a society where we don't care about it, because those are the guardrails that keep us from falling into a theocracy. It's all well and good when the governor votes like you do and believes like you do, but God help you if it's the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the polarization, I think, is really dangerous. And the idea is that the Constitution is supposed to be this lane in the middle with guardrails that keeps us safe. And, you know, when the states veer one way or the other, that they bring us back to where we should be in the middle. The Department of Justice is suing Texas. When this first came out, yet again, this isn't about me, but I mean, isn't everything. I was like, there's this precedent called Shelley versus Kramer, where ultimately a state allowed for, it was a discriminatory law that, you know, because it's unconstitutional to discriminate on the basis of race, they would let individual homeowners sue people of color that moved in, and the Supreme Court struck that down. Well, that is one of the law or one of the precedents that was brought up in the DOJ's lawsuit against Texas, that they argued, you know, Texas is trying to cloak its attack on the constitutionally protective rights behind a nominally private cause of action. But at the end of the day, who is going to rule on those cases, right? It's judges. And so that is state action. As soon as you sue somebody, you go to court and the judge says, okay, neighbor, suing Heather, you win. Then the state has acted in violation of my constitutional rights.
Is it kind of in The Firm, when it became a federal issue because they put a stamp on the letter they were mailing? You remember?
Well, I do remember what you're talking about. Yes. And you're right. That's how a lot of times people doing stuff in one state get smacked with wire fraud, which is why I think possibly, or because you use the mail, interstate commerce makes something a federal case. In this case, state action under the 14th Amendment is exertion of power in all state forms. And so that's going to include, you know, Ken Paxton as the attorney general, judges, all that. That's what the DOJ is arguing. Some legal scholars have argued that that's not a good argument, but it's all going to depend, you know, the really shitty thing at the end of the day, sum it up this way. People who want to collect under this bounty or believe that their moral crusade is more important than a woman's constitutional right are going to threaten, intimidate, sit outside. They already do sit outside of abortion providers take down license plates, follow people, get their information, and try to sue them. In the interim, before they do that, abortion providers and others have this chilling effect, right, where people don't want to help women get access. So then we're at an impasse, yeah, right? So like, it's a stalemate. I'm a provider. I could get sued. And what I do also think, because I'm a conspiracy theorist, my conspiracy is I think that these organizations don't want to sue people because strategically, the longer you drag your feet and wait, the fewer abortions are being provided because people are just living under this threat of a bounty. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to see there. I don't read every single case that gets filed in Texas every day, but there could be something that's filed already. But from what I could tell, in some cases, I think it will be strategic litigation that they'll file stuff and then really drag their feet. The other problem is like venue. The plaintiff can file in their home county. So that also lets these right to life organizations go in really rural counties and sue people that don't live there with really judges that may be more sympathetic to the right to life organization, and you can't transfer it to a proper, proper venue.
So here I have a couple questions. The first, how dare you? The second, we live in a very conservative state. That's obvious. There are pockets of liberal cities. We happen to live in one of them, but for the most part, Texas is red. So even if we all vote, and by we, I mean liberals, at the end of the day, if more conservatives and Republicans live here, it's going to win out. And even if like all of it, you know what I mean? Like just majority speaking, so what do you do when you're doing everything you can and this is still happening? And then you're like, I mean, not everyone can move. You know, you keep seeing like, well, I'm going to move. I'm not going to support Texas. Great. If you can do that and that's what you want to do, cool. There are millions of people that can't do that. They cannot afford to leave here. And, you know, people that are canceling their tours and their things here. If you can afford to do that, that's great. But if it comes to your livelihood and supporting for your family or, like, doing a show in a state that is adopting a policy you don't agree with, like, you have to make a choice there. So what can you do if it's just at the end of the day, this is a conservative state and that's how it's going to be?
It's a great question. I think I'll address a couple of those things. First of all, I think that we're not all voting. That I think, especially what happened in 2020, you know, people get more focused on federal, you know, on the presidential election.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like
we're
that.
Not all voting.
And so, and also we can't all vote. I think a lot of time, well, now, especially in Texas, they've really tightened the belt on where, when, how, if we could allow mail-in ballots. It's under the guise of, you know, it's voter, we're preventing voter fraud. It's a lie. I mean, literally, especially in the Shelby County case, there was like PowerPoints that they said, this will harm Black and Latino mm-hmm. neighborhoods, and we're fine with that. Like, it's nominally... We're doing this because we care about it's like, no,
voter
you're doing
suppression
this because
is real. As someone who needs to get their driver's license reinstated, I will tell you right now, voter suppression is real because the amount of hoops I'm going to have to jump through to get my driver's license reinstated is ridiculous.
Let's clarify. It expired.
It expired.
This was,
yes. It's been longer than 2 years, so I can't just renew it. I have to retake the test. I have to literally retake a driving test and a written test. And as someone who has means to get a ride to do that, maybe can, you know, has a flexible schedule. Okay. But those things are also aimed at people that can't do that. They don't have the means. They don't have a car. They can't take off work. And so guess what? Also, if you don't have a valid driver's license, you can't vote. So it's all cyclical.
Yeah. Well, and you say, well, just go get an ID. What's wrong with you? Why can't you get an ID? I don't know if you've ever tried to go anywhere in Texas without a car, but it fucking sucks. Yeah. And sometimes there's just literally no sidewalks.
Yeah.
So not to mention things are just really far.
Just
and
walking
right now,
through a field.
Well, and it's crazy backed up, right? We looked at different DMV places to go on a random fun adventure to get Christy a driver's license. And it's like, well, if you drive 6 hours, it's a 2-day wait.
And I was about to.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. So So, yeah. So to that point, I think we're not all voting. We could be doing a lot more to advance voter rights. However, if for some, you know, if it's true that we are just, you know, outnumbered and we're going to be in a more radically conservative state, I think that is why we have the Constitution. That's why we have the ability to have the federal government say, hey, like you can't. I mean, this is like back in the 60s when, you know, you say, well, we just live in a state where we want segregated schools. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea is that the folks that have to live in those areas, like you said, it's not just easy to leave. The federal government goes, no. Like there's a baseline of rights that people are entitled to, regardless of what type of state that they, you know, red or blue. We're not going to watch that happen. To your point of, well, I'm just going to leave the state. Good for you. Fantastic. As a person who provided legal services to extremely impoverished people, I will tell you, you are abandoning a ton of your neighbors that cannot leave, right. That cannot, you know, they're going to suffer even more. Same with, well, I'm taking all my money out of Texas. I listened to, it was The Takeaway, I think. And they were like, we asked a bunch of fucking people that don't even live in Texas what their thoughts are. And they're like, Texas is a fucking terrible place. I'll tell you right now, it's not.
No. Flipped here almost and even, my whole life.
Exactly. And my, you know what? There's nice neighbors. There's people that I know politically I don't align with that would come if my house was on fire and help me put it out. Like, it's a good neighbor state. What happens is when you have these polarized politicians, you have a lot of money in politics pushing certain candidates. You have, again, this voter suppression so that the makeup of our legislature and our governor doesn't reflect the values of us as Texans. And I think that's where we've kind of leaned far afield. But I think people feel... what's the word I'm looking for? You know, helpless. And they think, well, I'm just never, you know, I'm not going to buy Tito's vodka anymore. Well, you're lost. Okay. Or like, I'm not going to, you know, do stuff
market,
out of
so it is your loss.
I'm telling you, man, it's my fave. So, you know, if I think people feel hopeless and they're like, well, I'm going to, you know, we're doing shows here in Texas. I fucking live here, right? Like a bunch of why the women and men and non-binary trans people in my life that I love are going to come see our show. I'm not going to punish them because Greg Abbott fucking sucks.
And you know, and I mean, I think that's what a big part of it is, you know, people are like, everyone needs to petition Miley Cyrus and Billie Eilish and get them to pull out an ACL. And I think the thinking is, we'll hit them where it hurts because the only thing politicians care about is money. So if these big corporations start pulling out and the state isn't getting as much money and tourism, then that'll hurt them. Perhaps, but also, we're all getting fucked. Like, do we not get to enjoy nice things because... we didn't choose this, you know what I mean? And so, like, Patton Oswalt just canceled a bunch of his shows here he canceled a bunch of shows in Florida because they wouldn't adhere to the COVID policies he wanted. But I believe it was Patricia Arquette that just was like, I didn't sign on to do a movie that I wanted to do because it was filming in Texas. Great. If you can afford to do that because you make millions of dollars, and then by all means, if that's how you feel like you can help, go for it. The majority of us cannot do that.
And it doesn't help because I'll tell you why. The Texas economy does not need your money. It is based on oil.
Yeah, we got a bunch of oil, so nobody gives a shit about your movie that's being filmed here.
Exactly. And so what you're saying is you're double punishing people because the politicians sure ain't feeling it because the people that are getting Greg Abbott elected and lining his pockets are, you know, oil, coal, nat gas, all those, you know. So he's not losing any money. The people that live here that already have to suffer are losing out. What you could do, because I think they come from a good place. You want to feel like you're helping. You feel helpless and you're like, I want to punish the state. Well, Greg Abbott lives in a, you know, mansion. You ain't touching him. He's fine. So you're just punishing the rest of us. So I think, and especially not even us, but you're punishing, I think, the people, especially that don't have the means to get out or to, you know, fight against this. The TEA, the Texas Equal Access Fund, is a fund that provides direct abortion service care. We're donating all of our proceeds for our merch through October to the Center for Reproductive Rights. They're the ones that are actually fighting this in court. And they have said, you know, Planned Parenthood has... operations in Texas, and they have a legal arm. So if it's a Planned Parenthood provider, they're legally covered. But the Center for Reproductive Rights covers independent abortion providers in Texas. So if they get sued for providing care, the Center for Reproductive Rights would represent them. So that's why we chose that organization, is they are working hard. They've been either involved directly in litigation or as amicus for every major reproductive rights case that's come before the Supreme Court since Roe v. Wade. So they're there to make sure there's a baseline constitutional right for everybody.
And to that point, all this law is not going to ban abortion. It's banning healthy abortions.
Safe
abortions. I mean, women are just going to drive to other states, or it's, God forbid, like the back alley type of stuff, or trying to do something themselves. I mean, if you were
stuff at home,
if you were that desperate, you know, I mean, and then so just women's health is at stake. Their lives are at stake. I'm I feel like we're living in the twilight zone, that something like this could happen in 2021.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and you're right, and the liability extends from, so these providers that normally would do it safely, you know, may see a patient and say, I can't do it. I refuse to do it. You know, these are other states you can go to. That patient goes home, tries to do it themselves, harms themselves. And we're going to see, you know, a higher death rate, you know, in people that are just seeking medical care that they have a constitutional right to access. Mm-hmm. And then additionally on the legal side, actually lawyers, if you don't mind me checking my notes, if a lawyer is section 4, if a lawyer brings a claim seeking declaratory or injunctive relief on the constitutionality and you don't win, then both the party, so say I was a lawyer, I am a lawyer, say I'm representing a provider, the party and the lawyer are jointly and severally liable for the fees and things to the other side. So the idea, the whole purpose of this law is a chilling effect to try to keep this scary, looming, unconstitutional law on the books.
Fear tactics.
And it's fear taxes, and it's to scare lawyers away.
Because
and
also not just like, it's a financial scare tactic. You're like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to have to pay my neighbor's court fees if, you know, I mean, like, there's, and like you said, there's no loss for somebody being like, well, you know what? I could use $10,000. I'm going to just sue somebody or take my neighbor to court. And like, what do you lose out of it?
Yeah, you don't, because you don't have to pay, you don't have to pay court fees. And so far, it seems that the pro-life organizations are going to be the ones to take these cases. So the Center for Reproductive Rights have said, listen, we know that we're going to, you know, we have this looming threat that if we don't prevail, we're going to have to pay. We're still going to, we're not scared, ultimately.
And that's what it'll take, is more organizations like that, or just attorneys and everything working pro bono and losing money out of pocket over stuff like this.
And you shouldn't, because it's extremely frivolous. All of it's frivolous, because at the end of the day, there's no standing. It's not constitutional under the Texas Constitution, and then especially not under the federal Constitution. So hopefully that explained everything, answered questions. I will say there's a ton of good resources on the internet. I'm not an expert on this. I brushed up on my call.
Well, you
law
answered
to prepare
a lot of very good questions. So
thank you. But yeah, I would say, you know, check out SCOTUS blog is always a good website. They analyze decisions coming down the pike and ones that have already been decided. And there's a guy, he's a professor. It's like the Volokh conspiracy. He's pretty independent. So he's not going to be really progressive. And he gave a really good, like, 10-point takedown of the Biden administration suing the state of Texas. And the reason why I like him is because he's like, listen, looking at this rationally, this argument's bad. This one's not going to work. This one may work. You know, so he gives a good kind of analysis of that lawsuit as well, for those of you who want to dig more into it. And the takedown, or not the it's the 10 problems with the United States versus Texas. So
as far as you know, right now, a private citizen has not tried to sue another citizen.
Not that I've heard. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, I haven't been, I have not been keeping up with this. I think what's more likely to happen would be the place that set up the whistleblower website, which I sent you some screenshots. I went and did so many more. I just got
a lot. We've seen a lot on our Patreon group too, which are fantastic.
Yeah, I was like having some insomnia, and I just went on that site and used it as a creative writing project where the first, they were saying if you copy and paste, like, fuck you, Greg Abbott, you're a douchebag, they can filter that out on their, they've taken the website down now, we've destroyed the website.
Good.
But that if you have like a good faith sounding, kind of like a troll copy paste, copy pasta, creepy pasta, whatever, that it, they can't filter those out. They have to go through and read them. So I was using a lot of names from I Think You Should Leave as the doctor name. So it was like Taffy Lee Fubbins or whatever. And then the paragraphs were, I just used it as a creative writing experiment to be like, I fell down and was a pumpkin, whatever. So that website's been taken down. But I think that organization and others like it, it's more likely that because there's no restriction on a nonprofit suing an individual or a provider.
Yeah, I think that's
or
what it'll
Uber
be.
Uber driver or the person that brought her tacos after she had the, you know, it's like, at what point, when you say anyone that aids or abets, is it the person who, I Googled where the website was or where the provider location was. Can you sue Google? Because I couldn't have gotten to the abortion provider without Google. Can you sue Google now?
That's a good question. Where does, and because like you said, it's so vague that no one really knows. I think that what will happen is a pro-life organization. I don't know like the names of the big ones, but I think one of those will be the first person to sue someone and it'll be a big case. Because I also think they want to make a name for themselves. They want to be the first one to, you know, I mean, what is it they always say in law school? You never want a case in the textbook.
I always say that. You don't want your name to be at the top unless
something like this. I think you absolutely do. So
I mean, the immediate term, I think right now if women in Texas need to get abortions, they're either going to get it from a provider that is, you know, covered by some type of legal representation and is willing to get sued. They're going to have to go out of state, which is a couple hour drive in any direction you go, unless you live right on the border. So that, like I said, the Texas Equal Access Fund and there are others. I think Act Blue has a whole page of all the different organizations that provide that kind of care and services. And then we'll see in the medium term, Center for Reproductive Rights and Planned Parenthood and the ACLU are kind of the three big names that are defending providers and trying to challenge this. The one other problem, and we'll wrap this up, is that the law has a pretty detailed severability clause. And so if you sue on one of the provisions of SB8 and the court goes, oh, yeah, you're right, that provision is unconstitutional, the law basically says that means it doesn't invalidate the whole law. It just cuts that one part out.
So you got to sue for like 100 things.
You would have to sue for every single and be impacted by every. So again, the idea, I think, is that when the litigation is going to start and going to be ongoing, it has to be super thoughtful and very targeted to beat this. It's unprecedented. I'll say it again.
And then these politicians use their powers for good.
Oh, I don't know, for making sure my fucking electricity doesn't set off if it gets either too hot or too cold.
Yeah, which somebody told me the other day, supposed to have another winter like that. So awesome.
Oh, God.
Awesome. Fucking awesome.
Can't take it. Cannot take it. I'm now a prepper in my house because I'm like, I'm going to sleep next to the fireplace again. Mm-hmm. Great. And then in the long term, I would keep an eye out for that Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which is that Mississippi law that's going to get decided. I am really trying to just like hold out hope that, I mean, the arguments right now is either that's going to happen. And if they do overturn Roe v. Wade, what will we do? In the interim, Nancy Pelosi tried to introduce a bill that would codify abortion as a federal, you know, we all have a right to it under federal law. That's not going to pass the Senate because they haven't gotten rid of the filibuster. So don't hang your hat on the House bill right now. I think that's another thing that, again, politicians are motivated by many things. Some of it's self-interest. So I think they genuinely do believe that that's a right. But also, like, it's not going to work. Like, I think it's there's like zero chance that it's going to pass the Senate. So another thing we're looking to, I say we like I'm in the government, like I'm in charge of anything. I think another thing that people are looking to. Thank you. I think Judge Christie should be in the Supreme Court.
Y'all don't even know. I mean, I think everybody knows how I'd rule.
Double gavel that shit. But I think there's also been discussion of court packing, which I think at first glance, it sounds radical to add more Supreme Court justices. But I don't think that would be a whole other episode. We could talk about court packing. I don't think it's that radical. I think that it would behoove us to possibly have
some more. Imagine if RBG was still alive.
this wouldn't, we wouldn't be here. Mm. But we shouldn't have to hang our hat on one person, right? No, like, we should have, you know,
And in the meantime, donate. If this is something that you are opposed to, you can donate. There is a countrywide march on October 2nd, the Repro March, that I believe all states now have cities that are participating in the march. So things like that, the more people speak out, it's hard to ignore the masses. So make your voice heard wherever you can.
Vote, vote, yeah. Vote, and keep your eye on voting restrictions in near you.
Yeah, for sure.
They're probably coming.
And I will say, to wrap it up, all of the people in the Patreon group who, when this came out, were just like, I was literally sitting, I'm going to like cry thinking about it, sitting there sobbing when people were like, hey, if anybody needs to come to Arkansas for a week, I got a spare bedroom, no questions asked. And it was just 100 comments of people from
city
everywhere saying, you can come here. I'll drive you. So that is what we need. It's like women supporting women, and not just women supporting the women, you know, everyone supporting women, because I passionately feel that we all have a right to this. And the more people speak up for things like this, then the harder it is for these rights to be overturned. So use your voice.
Yes. And I think educating yourself is important as well. But I always caution folks about just keep an eye out where the information is coming from. Because I think it can be easy. That's why I like to read stuff from law professors or constitutional scholars versus this is a really like a religious thing or a really progressive thing on either end.
Or you just see a meme on Facebook and it just gets shared and it's this echo chamber of just misinformation. That stuff is very dangerous.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. So don't get your info from a meme. I think it's good to dig in.
Unless that Heather posts on Tuesdays about our episodes on Wednesday. You can get your information from those.
I do. I put my heart into those memes.
Yeah, I think you should leave one. Even Billy Jensen liked it. So
I was dead. Billy Jensen
commented
on my I think you should leave meme with a quote from I think you should leave. And then we commented back with a quote. I was like, I just quoted I think you should leave with Billy Jensen. My life is complete. It was fantastic. He's the best, though. He's just, of course, he loves that show.
Yeah, of course,
great.
Yeah. Super great guy. All right, guys. Well, we hope that's answered a lot of questions for those of you that have been reaching out and maybe provided some ways that you can help. Or, you know, if you were kind of on the fence about, I don't really know how to think about this, perhaps it swayed you one way or the other. So we appreciate you listening and having an open mind. And, stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.